This is the World Series postgame show on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Texas Citizens Bank, Allied Outdoor Solutions, and Zumo's Sausage and Boudin. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, they even made me a new intro. How cool is that? We got to find something cool tonight because this is not the show we were expecting to have tonight. This isn't the show I was expecting to give you tonight. No, I was expecting Justin Verlander to boss up. And we were supposed to be talking about parades and parties and all kinds of stuff, and it didn't quite go that way. Patrick Creighton with you, ESPN 97.5, with our Astros World Series postgame. And, of course, we will be highly interactive with you, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1. And tough night to watch the Astros. Just a tough night to watch the Astros. Started off terrific and continued to go downhill from there. We'll keep you up to date with all the postgame audio as it happens, and we'll get you some live interviews and things going on as well. But Astros go down tonight at home, 7-2 for the third time in this series, and it's the first time in World Series history that the road team has won six games in the World Series. And here we are now with a one-game winner-take-all. Astros having it in their own building, and you know normally this should be Astros favored significantly, and right now this is a toss-up game. This should be Zach Greinke against Max Scherzer. And I don't know how long they'll be able to get Scherzer. I don't know how much, you know, there's no guarantee that Scherzer doesn't wake up tomorrow and goes, man, I can't lift my arm again. So they're expecting to be able to go Scherzer. I don't know how long he'll actually be able to go. But, you know, Game 7, it is the greatest thing in all sports. We always say Game 7 is the greatest thing in all sports. You might need to, you know, have three packs of Tums with you for all the oddity you're going to get watching it. But, you know, was this not the coolest part of the 2017 World Series? That it went seven games, and at the end of seven games was the Astros standing high. So we hope that at the end of seven games, it's going to be the Astros standing high. I tell you, I would like to know where all those baseballs were from earlier in the postseason when, you know, there were all these people grumbling, oh, they're not using the same baseballs. These baseballs, they don't fly as far. These baseballs aren't juiced like the balls in the regular season because ball looked just like the regular season flying off national bats tonight. Those balls are coming off bats pretty hard. Astros had some balls came off bats hard too. So this idea, oh no, they don't, they're not using the same balls. Yeah, I thought it was a bunch of bunk then, and it's kind of proven to be a bunch of bunk now. Jerry Bowe's on the other side of the glass. What's up, Jay Bay?
What's happening, Craig?
So Jerry's going to be keeping us up to date with all the post-game interviews, and they're expecting Joe Torre to go up there as well, so we'll hear from him as well. I got to sneeze. I hate when that happens, and then it gets stuck, and I just had sinus surgery, so it's not like I can, like, hold it in. But we'll try to get to it. As I'll try to avoid it as much as I can. And of course, we'll take all your calls on this game, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, on the HRMP listener line, on the text line. And I haven't taken my glasses out yet. Jerry, who's on the phone? Oh, well, let's go to the phones. Viva la raza! ¿Qué pasó, amigo?
Viva señor Patricio.
Buddy,
how you doing, brother?
Man, where you been?
Well, you know, man, you know, La Raza has to keep working, man. You know, hey, they're making us cut yards, and I have to come over here, and, you know, I got to make food. I got to put bread on the table. You already know how this goes, man.
Man,
you know,
I do, man.
You already know how it goes.
Always on the hustle. Always on the hustle.
always on the hustle, but this is why I had to call right now. What is going on with our Astros, man? Like, okay, first of all, every single team, every road team has won on the opposite side. And what is going on here? Because the Astros look like they came back. They look like that 1-07 team that was dominating everybody. You know, we were thinking, okay, you know, they want to bring it back home. First celebration here at Minute Maid. You know, it's going to be crazy. And then Washington comes out of nowhere and just takes it. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't underestimate an underdog. To me, I feel like Washington wants it so much that they remind me of the Astros from 2017. Patricio, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like they don't want it, you know? Like, that's why you fought so hard to get home field advantage. So why not take it in game six? Why game seven? Huh? Just finish it out today. Verlander, what happened?
I can't explain it, brother, because it's never happened before. Since 1903, the very first World Series, it's never happened before that the road team has won six games. Certainly, they've won six in a row. Never happened. And you know what? You know, Verlander was, he'd been complaining about juice balls all year. Gave up a couple home runs tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, of course, you know, Brad Peacock. And the fact that Devo went in late in the game pretty much told you, they're like, okay, we're just not going to throw another arm that we need. I mean, Will Harris has been nails all postseason. Will Harris has been nails all regular season and postseason. And he got caught for a jack today. But you know what? At the same time, would you feel better or worse if instead of losing 7-2 and you knew they were losing and you've kind of come to grips with them being losing, you know, for a few innings, if it was 3-2 and it was right there mm-hmm. the whole game and every single mm-hmm. inning you're right on the edge of your seat waiting for it to happen, let down. Waiting for it to happen, mm-hmm. let down. You'd be exhausted.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that's it's better to lose like this than to lose a nail biter where you should have got it. So we're going to get game seven,
right,
brother.
Now, but right now, I should have been ordering my 2019 World Series championship gear. But no, I'm calling to ESPN, to the baseball guru, to see what the hell went wrong. Because I just don't understand it. You have a Hall of Famer in Justin Verlander, career. You see his resume, top to bottom, but does not come in winning a World Series game. What is going on?
Well, you know what? To be fair to Verlander, he's lost games where he's given up two runs. He's lost games where he's given up three runs. You know, if your team only scores one or two runs, you're not going to win a lot of games. The Astros scored two runs tonight. All right, they left six guys on base. Once again, could not get a hit with runners in scoring position. You know, this has been a theme for both teams in this series. Left on base, runners in scoring position, getting hits. In the first two games, the Astros couldn't buy a hit with a man on base, and they were leaving villages on. Then in the middle, the Astros were getting all the hits. You know, the Nationals got all the hits with guys on base games 1 and 2. Astros got them all game 3, 4, 5. Tonight, Nationals got the guys with hit. I appreciate the call, La Raza. Always a pleasure. Right now, we got A.J. Hinch. We're going to go to that right now. A.J. Hinch, postgame.
Pass first base.
Yeah, he shouldn't carry the bat pass first base. Soto shouldn't carry it to first base either.
Far back on the right aisle, Hunter.
Will Gerrit Cole be available tomorrow out of the bullpen?
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
The thoughts on the play involving Trey Turner in the seventh inning?
Yeah, I don't really understand it yet. I think we're going to all get an explanation. From what I understand, Joe's going to come in here. It took a really long time for nothing to happen. I knew the rule that they what he called an interference I haven't spent a lot of time on the play. I knew they were very upset about it. It's not a reviewable call. It's not, you can't protest it. You can't really do anything, and yet they go to the headset. So sounds like that's what they wanted, and for whatever reason they couldn't get a hold of people, but we should let MLB handle it. That's one of the many plays tonight that is that led to the game, but it wasn't the reason we lost the game or anything like that. But I'm as confused as everybody is because there was no reason to have the delay from my seat.
AJ, from your seat, what did you see of Strasburg?
I saw an incredible pitcher. I mean, he was really good. And as I said before the game, he has an uncanny ability to slow the game down when he's under any duress. And we didn't put a lot of stress on him. But the times that we did in the fifth and then the leadoff single in the sixth, he kind of backs it down a little bit, throws the secondary pitches for strikes. He locates pitches. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. I thought he credit to him bouncing back from the first inning. You know, it was almost like just exactly how the last game went where, you know, they score, we score, and all of a sudden, you know, he settled in and was very dominant. So he's got a slow heartbat out there.
It's AJ Hinch, the Astros manager at Minute Maid Park. Buster Olney with us.
With AJ Hinch, as we pop back into our national feed on ESPN, every couple of minutes or so, when they've got somebody speaking, or if you know, we got an interview, we'll pop back into them so we can get you that audio. But you know, there were talking about Strasburg. He had a tremendous season this year, and his postseason pitching is going to get him paid. It's going to get him paid. Big time money. Now he didn't have the same stretch as Gerrit Cole did, as far as, you know, winning 19 decisions in a row, all the double digit strikeouts, 11 games in a row. But Strasburg was still phenomenal this year, and his agent is Scott Boras. So I don't have to tell you what kind of contract he's going to be looking for. But he's got an opt-out. And this season, Steven Strasburg made $35 million. Now, understand the structure of his contract. He didn't make $35 million every year. He made $10.5 million, $15 million, $15 million, then $35 million. Next year, he'd make $25 million. Then 15, 15, and then a balloon $45 million payment in 2023. But he's going to opt out because he's going to get $35 million a year. And Gerrit Cole might get more than $35 million a year. When you have, the kind of season, Strasburg this year was 18-6. With a 3.32 ERA, and he struck out 251 guys. So, was he as good as Gerrit Cole? No. Was he still tremendous? Yes. Is he going to get paid? Oh, yes. He's a little older than Cole. You know, he's 31. But that's a really good pitcher on the other side that, you know, I think because it's Justin Verlander, and so much was made, oh, Verlander's 0-5 in the World Series, and Verlander's got to finally get that win. And honestly, look, I thought coming into this game, Justin Verlander probably be so damn sick and tired of hearing, oh, 0-5 in the World Series, 0-5 in the World Series, 0-5 in the World Series. He'd be coming out throwing freaking BBs. And three strikeouts, that's the lowest strikeout total Verlander has had in a game this entire season. Maybe at the end of the year, maybe he just doesn't have, he's thrown a ton of innings. Maybe he just doesn't have a whole lot left. Maybe he's tired. You know, it's a seventh month of baseball. He didn't miss a start all year. Maybe he's a little gassed. But you know what? Three runs in five innings should not be an insurmountable total for this offense to overcome. This team used to get amped up when Verlander took the mound. They weren't amped up for him tonight. They weren't amped up for him in game two either. You go back to 2017, every time Verlander was on the mound, these guys went crazy. That wasn't there this year. Certainly not the last two games in the World Series where you'd think, hey, our ace is going. Let's go. We're ready. Wasn't there. You're not going to win a whole lot of games with two runs. Now, that doesn't take Peacock off the hook. It doesn't take Will Harris off the hook. It doesn't take Devo off the hook. You know what? And two of those guys, Devo, I do not think will be back with the team next year. Peacock, 50-50, he's back with the team next year. I think Peacock still has another year of arbitration, but I don't know that they're... I don't know about you. Have you seen enough of Brad Peacock at this point? I know like overall, you know, his numbers aren't bad or whatnot, but he's not really a starter because he can't go more than five innings without throwing 100-plus pitches. He's not really a starter. And you can't use him late in games because he's got a penchant of giving up runs in high-leverage situations. So, what is Brad Peacock? Is he's basically, you know, a middle reliever? An underbelly guy that you use in middle innings? You know, when you're either up or down, can't use him in tight spots? I mean, what is Brad Peacock? Because he's not young anymore. You kind of know what he is. All right, Draybo, who do we got? Who's up the podium right now? All right, we got Juan Soto at the podium. We'll get to your calls in just a couple of minutes, 713-780-3776. So just hang on with us. Here's Juan Soto at the podium.
Say E, the Spanish.
Juan, you're playing Game 7 of the World Series tomorrow. What do you think?
It's going to be fun because it's going to be loud. I mean, we came back again, playing really good baseball. Team, we're going to be good.
All right, when Alex Bregman takes that bat to first base on that home run, what did you think about that?
It's pretty cool. I want to do it, too. That's what I think. When I saw that, I get the opportunity and do the same thing.
So when did you make that decision you were going to do that if you hit the ball that far?
Yeah. I just say I got to make sure the ball is far enough, and then I do it.
What was it like on the bench during all that craziness in the seventh inning, the arguing with the umpire?
I mean... They're humans. They make errors, too. We just got to keep it going. If you see, then everything turns in our favor. Everything goes good. We just got to keep grinding.
What'd you see in Steven Strasburg tonight?
The same Steven Strasburg I've been seeing since the first.
All right, that was Juan Soto at the podium. And, you know, not really anything earth-shaking there. But he does mention that the umpires got the call wrong at first base. We're going to get into that in just a minute. First, we're going to go back to the phones. Dr. Dre, what's up, Dre?
P-Sizzle, man. What's cracking?
Unfortunately, there is no fireworks or champagne cracking. Otherwise, we'd all be a lot happier.
Yeah, you're right about that. I just wanted to say that. You know, we jumped out to a lead, and, you know, when we're up and we jump out, everything's good. But, man, you know, since the minute, you know, Verlander starts to get chipped away on him, man, and then we get behind, the bats disappear, man. I mean, you can't get men on second and third, and you got Altuve and Brantley up with one out, and they fail to get in those base runners, man. You can't get no stakes.
Dude, that
and,
was the turning
point. It just got worse
point.
Down the line.
Not for nothing, that was the turning point of the game. That was the turning point of the game. Dre, hold on a second. We got David Martinez last. I'll come back to you afterwards. Here's Dave Martinez.
We need to fix it. And he after that, he was lights out. I mean, he was really good. The big pitchers and big moments do what Strasburg did today. So I told him after the game, he said,
that was tremendous. I mean, you picked us all up, and we're going to game seven because of your performance.
Davey, can you explain from your vantage point the Trey Turner play, what you saw, and secondly, what set you off in between innings?
I really I don't want to sit here and talk about me or the umpires. This is not about me or the umpires. This is about the Washington Nationals and those guys in the clubhouse coming to game six and playing lights out, knowing that this could be it. And I'm super proud of them. I mean, in the heat of the moment, things get blown out of hand. I saw things differently, but I'll never criticize any umpires or anything. It's, you know, they're a big part of the game. I'm just really proud of the boys and the way they came out and played today. I mean, that's all I want to say about that. You know, we got another game tomorrow, and let's come back tomorrow and win again.
Davey, I know you don't want to make it about yourself, but it looked on the replay like maybe someone made contact with you, and that was what really kind of escalated it.
Yeah, like I said, I don't really want to make this about me and take away what the boys did tonight. I mean, they played really well. I mean, Rendon stepped up big, Adam Eaton, all of them. I mean, the defense, the hustling, the Strasburg, Duke coming in, getting a couple big outs for us. I mean, let's just come back tomorrow. You know, we're going to game seven. I mean, it's a lot of fun. Let's come back tomorrow and do it again.
What explanation did you get on the call at first base?
The explanation was it was just a judgment call.
And have you seen a replay of it?
I've seen a lot of replays of it.
And what is your opinion of it after?
Yeah, like I said, I just don't want to make this about one play. I mean, it was a big play. I just don't want to make it about one play. The boys, you know, obviously Anthony came up big and, you know, hit a home run, and we were celebrating and cheering. The boys were happy, and that's what this is all about.
Dave Martinez, Nationals manager there, and we'll go back. Dre, bring Dre back on. Dre, appreciate you hanging on there as we were getting in Dave Martinez. But, you know, this is
– Oh, yeah, yeah.
So go ahead. I know you you had a couple of things you wanted to say, and I unfortunately I didn't want to have to cut you off, but I didn't want you to I didn't want to drop you when we had Davey come on. So thanks for holding on.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, once we started squeezing the sawdust and you bring in Peacock, you know, I feel like you're kind of quitting on the game because, you know, you got two bridges in Peacock and Davinsky that just fall apart, man. It's like you're basically giving up when you're down 3-2, you know, and, you know, the bats are squeezing sawdust down the stretch and, you know, got fake fans out here. Throw the ball back to that Adam Eaton home run landed two rows behind me. The people are all yelling, throw it back. And it's like, it's the World Series, man. We're not the Chicago Cubs. That's my other issue tonight. We're not the Cubs.
Yeah, everybody like got on this bandwagon of throw it back. You caught a home run ball. Why the hell are you throwing it back? It didn't make any dang sense. There's that the turning point in this game though was second and third, one out, Altuve at the plate, and he's just flailing wildly. Second and third. One out, you've got a chance to answer the score, right? Because Verlander had just given up the two runs. You got a chance to answer that score. And second and third and one out should automatically be a run. All you got to do is put the ball in play, not to the pitcher, not to the third baseman. And it's a run. Fly ball, it's a run. Grounded to short, grounded to first, grounded to second, that's a run. And this is basic old school fundamental baseball. Run is a third, hit it the other way, that's a run. Jose's swinging at pitches over his head, he's swinging at pitches in the dirt. It's Jose Altuve. This is the maddening part about Altuve, because he's such a great player. And Altuve has been incredibly clutch in various moments. But there are also other moments like that one where you're just like, what are you doing? Why are you not more patient in that situation? Second and third one out, you don't need to go up there hacking at everything. Make them come to you. You got them on the ropes here. You're letting them off. That at-bat by Altuve was a huge turning point in this game. Because they had the chance to tie the game right back there. That was, without a doubt, the biggest missed opportunity of the night for the Houston Astros. It changed the complexion of the game. You know, and what Dre said is right. You got Brad Peacock. Why is Peacock going, into the seventh inning? Because you know what? If I got to believe that if the game is tied or the Astros have taken the lead, you're not seeing Brad Peacock in the sixth. You're probably seeing Will Harris or Joe Smith in the sixth. And AJ is looking to close it down. If the Astros are up 4-3, going to the sixth inning, Harris, Peacock, maybe Presley, because Presley, you know, has kind of found it in this series. And then Osuna. But probably Harris, Smith, Osuna. Right? You're getting 12 outs out of Harris, Smith, and Osuna. Harris throwing hammers. Smith's throwing frisbees. And then Osuna's throwing heat. And you find a way to get home four innings with those three guys. Not being able to cash in second and third, one out, that was a killer. They should have got at least one and tied it. And if they get that one and tie it, how much does it change the complexion of the game? You know, it's amazing how many runs, they get two runs in the first, and the bats are stone quiet. So, you know, you look back, Verlander gave up three runs. Don't tell me the loss is on Verlander. Okay, the loss is on the offense. Yet again. Because you got to score. Second inning, Astros 1-2-3. Third inning, Astros 1-2-3. Fourth inning, they got two walks, couldn't cash in a run. Fifth inning, they get a single and a double, second and third, one out. Altuve whiffs on three pitches, and none of them were strikes. Sixth inning, they get the leadoff man on, nothing. Seventh inning, 1-2-3. Eighth inning, 1-2-3. Lineup failed. What you got from Verlander wasn't great. You know, that wasn't Hall of Fame Verlander, vintage Verlander. All right, it was good enough that the Astros had a shot to win. Here's Joe Torre at the podium.
And what the rule actually does say on the runner's lane interference.
I didn't hear the last part.
And what the rule, how it reads on the runner's lane.
I brought it with me. Yes, the ruling was that Trey Turner interfered basically, he interfered with the first baseman trying to make a play. In fact, I think Gurriel's glove even came off at that point in time. He did run, to the fair side of the of those 45-foot line, but really the violation was when he kept Gurriel from being able to catch the ball at first base. It's a judgment call on the umpire. Sam Holbrook made the call. It's the right call. Because then you watch, you know, Davey Martinez, and, you know, I can relate to that. You know, when you wear a uniform, you see, you know what you want to have happen, basically. And, you know, when you're passionate about it, that's what happens. And he, you know, he was arguing, saying, you know, that the way he saw it. And then he was told by the crew chief, Gary Cederstrom, that the, you know, he because he wanted to protest, and he said, you can't protest a judgment call. So he insisted on having them go to the headset. The last thing we tell managers, at least, you know, this is what I tell managers when we have our meeting on the first game of a series, is if you think a rule was misapplied, go and ask the umpires, have a rules check. They can go to the headset. And Davey basically was asking him to go to just to check on something, and I think he was really aggressive, and the umpires basically went to the headset and, you know, presented that Davey wanted to protest, and they said you can't protest a judgment call. The rule, let me read the rule. In running the last half of the distance from home base to first base, while the ball is being fielded to first base, he runs outside to the right of the three-foot line or inside to the left of the foul line, and in the umpire's judgment, in doing so, interferes with the fielder taking the throw at first base, in which case the ball is dead, except that he may run outside to the right of the three-foot line or inside to the left of the foul line to avoid a fielder attempting to field the batted ball. So it wasn't that situation. It was a throw to first base, and that's why it was ruled in it basically an interference.
Other questions? Joel, right here.
Joe, when you say they're trying to reach someone on the headset, who are they talking to?
They call replay.
So Chelsea is interpreting the rule?
No, they went and told, I basically, you know, it's a World Series. We want to double and triple check ourselves. And that's basically what, you know, they said that Davey wanted to protest. I made the call. It was a judgment call. They said to the umpires, it's a judgment call, and that you can't protest.
But who are they calling to get interpretation of that rule? Because we had a long delay there, and
I know it shouldn't have been that long. I don't know if it was the noise or whatever it was. I know we had a hard line in our box, and we had trouble reaching people because we tried to make some calls. We couldn't do it. It should never be that long. That's unfortunate, and it certainly, you know, we have to take ownership of that. But it shouldn't have been that long.
And just the last thing, the bang-bang nature of the play at first base, that doesn't, like, because I would ask, where should Trey Turner go once he has to strike the base? The base is only so big.
If you notice, he was running inside the line toward fair territory, toward the grass, and he was coming from that angle. If he had been running in the 45-foot line, he would have been coming from a different angle, and the first baseman may have had an easier chance catching the ball. But as you know, as you saw, the glove came off Gurriel's hand, and he wasn't, you know, doing anything but trying to catch the ball. And you know, my view, if he catches the ball, you know, Turner, he's fast, but he hadn't gotten to first base yet.
There you go. There's Joe Torre.
I'm glad Joe Torre took the time to read you the rules so that I don't have to do it, although I did have it propped up right here on my phone. We're going to get into that play, the rule application, why it's the right call. Coming up next, the Astros post-game show here on ESPN 97.5.
To the
HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm, every day I'm, every day.
This is the World Series Postgame Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Texas Citizens Bank, Allied Outdoor Solutions, and Zumo's Sausage and Boudin. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Great start with this. You guys are playing Game 7 of the World Series tomorrow. After the craziness of this game, what do you feel about your chances tomorrow?
Oh, we love them. Hopefully we can get our guy on the mound. I don't know the situation there, but we have faith in whoever's going to take the mound tomorrow, and we're going to compete our tail off and hopefully come out with a win.
Right, you were involved in that controversial play in the seventh inning. Take us through it from your perspective and how you felt when you were called out.
Yeah, you know, I think the batter's box is in fair territory, and so is first base. I felt like I ran a straight line from the batter's box to first base, and, for whatever reason, I guess maybe because of bad throw, I was called out. A lot of momentum taken away right there, but Tony just, keeps coming through with clutch hits, and so it was nice to put that behind us real quick and put those runs back up.
Camera showed you yelling at the umpire, Joe Torre. What were you telling him?
I feel like every year it happened to us against the Cubs, and they came back and said that they got the rule wrong or something else should have happened. And I said, there's your man over there. He's in charge of the umpires. So if you want to get this cleared up, we should go to him. And, I don't know all the protocol and whatnot, but I just want the game to be called correctly, whatever that is, and move on.
What did you think about Alex Bregman taking the bat to first base and then Juan Soto doing the same?
Hey, if you're going to do it, you got to expect it back. So obviously a big home run for him, and even a bigger home run for us to get that lead back later in the game. So, do your thing.
How about Steven Strasburg tonight?
Unbelievable. I mean, what a guy. I mean, I wish he would have finished it out. I know his pitch count was a little high, but just to see him battle all year long and just get better and better as postseason went on, and, two runs against these guys is a big deal, especially going eight-plus innings. So that was unbelievable.
Trey, thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's Trey Turner of the Nationals, and I wanted to replay that interview after we just heard from Joe Torre, because I wanted to contrast the two. Because Trey Turner wants the game to be called right, but he doesn't know the rules. One of the things he says is the batter's box is in fair territory. The batter's box is not in fair territory. That's why when you hit a ball off yourself, it's a foul ball. The batter's box is in foul territory. It is behind the line. I mean, everybody who's ever played baseball knows this. How does he not know that? It's amazing to me that you can be a Major League Baseball player and not know that the batter's box is not in fair territory. Like, dude, did you take the short bus from the hotel to the game today? That's number one. Number two, as Joe Torre very eloquently stated, is he read the rule word for word. Here's the layman's version of it. When you get to the second half, the second 45 feet towards first base, the runner's got to be on the right side of the line. Unless he is avoiding a fielder who is trying to field a ball on the right side of the line, the runner must be on the right side of the line, the second half of the run to first base. Turner is never on the right side of the line heading to first base at any time. He's on the left side the whole way. And as I said on Twitter when it happened, what caught the umpire's eye was that there was contact made and Yuli's glove comes flying off his hand. That's what drew the call. It's Turner knocking the glove off Yuli's hand on the left side of the line that drew the interference call. And interference is a dead ball. That's why the runner has to go back to first base. It is a dead ball. If Turner is on the right side of the line, A, there's no interference. B, there's probably no contact. And for all my Twitter warriors out there who want to tell me, oh, but other players were on the left side of the line and it never gets called. If there's no contact, there's no need to call it. Essentially, it's a safety issue. The runner's supposed to run to the outside of the bag and hit the outside of the bag, hit the outside corner. You know, and you're talking about a foot race to the bag. The fielder gets the inside corner. The runner gets the outside corner. And the you're running through it is the fastest way to the bag. That's why, you know, every time you see a guy slide into first base, like, what the hell are you doing? Unless you're trying to duck a tag, you should never be sliding into first base. But Turner being on the wrong side of the line, making contact, knocking the glove off the fielder, that drew the call. It is technically the correct call. Okay? And you know I'm not being a homer because I'm a Mets fan. I'm from New York. I've adopted the Astros. I've covered the Astros now for 7 years. Know a lot of those players. I like the Astros. I want the Astros to do well. Astros are good for business, especially for me. Being a baseball guy, Astros are good for business. But it is technically the right call. And it is amazing to me how many guys cover Major League Baseball on a daily basis, both locally but especially nationally, who don't know the rules. I always find it hilarious, and I'll be up in the press box at Minute Maid Park, and you know people don't know the rules for infield fly. Like, how do you not know the rules for infield fly? People don't know the rules. I know that these are situations that don't come up all that often, but if you've been covering baseball for more than 5 years, and you're at a game every day, or you're writing something every day, you got to know the damn rules. And I'm not taking shots at this guy because I don't like him, because I happen to like Jeff Passan, and I think he's a really good writer. But Jeff Passan's out on Twitter making a fool out of himself because he doesn't know the damn rules. Guys like that, they can't not know the rules. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line. Your more your reaction. We'll get you some more post-game sound, some more breakdown. Game 6, Astros fall 7-2 at Minute Maid to the Nationals. Before we hit the break, got to tell you about our friends over at mybookie.ag, because when you want to bet, you want to win. When you win, you want to get paid. And the best place to bet, win, and get paid is at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, more odds, more prop bets than any other sports book, and nobody pays you out faster. You get your cash when you want it. Now, if you sign up now, mybookie will double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. Would you like $1,000 in free money? Who doesn't want free money? Don't leave free money on a table. And don't play at these no-name sports book that give you, you know, the fakakta odds and, you know, don't want to pay you and all that other nonsense. Bet with the best. Mybookie.ag. Use promo code RADIO. Get your exclusive double your money offer today. That's mybookie.ag, promo code RADIO. Play, win, get paid, mybookie.ag.
Right. Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is the World Series postgame show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Citizens Bank, Allied Outdoor Solutions, and Zumo's Sausage and Boudin. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
But this is what it's all about. Game 7 tomorrow. We're excited. It's going to be a lot of fun and can't wait to come out and compete.
Alex, what adjustments would you see Strasburg make after that first inning?
I don't know. I think he just makes three really, really good pitches. His fastball is really good. Changeup's really good. His breaking ball varied in speeds today from about 84 to 80. And he was really, really dominant.
A lot was made of you kind of carrying the bat to first base. What was kind of going through your mind in that moment?
Well, I just let my emotions get the best of me. It's not how I was raised to play the game, and I just let my emotions get the best of me, and I'm sorry for doing that.
Alex, you said you see if we stop the bleeding, it'll make this a fun series. Here we are. Is it going to be fun tomorrow? You just used that word. Is that what it's going to be like?
Yeah, of course. It's going to be great. We got an incredible team. They have an incredible team. And it's winner take all, one game. It's a blast. That's why we play the game. Game 7 here at Minute Maid Park in front of our home fans is going to be a blast. And leave it all out there.
I hate that Bregman apologized for pimping that home run. And hearing from A.J. Hinch earlier, where he said he didn't like that Bregman brought the bat to first base, that neither he or Soto should have brought the bat to first base. I don't know what the odds are that Hinch said something to him about pimping it that hard. I'm going to guess the percentage that Hinch had a conversation with Bregman about mega pimping with baby powder that home run is probably 99.89%. That's a max. That being said, what's the point of Play Loud? Right? What's the point of all these ads about let the kids play? So he pimped a homer. So what? Fans love that he pimped the homer. And you know what? Nationals fans love that Soto pimped it right back. See, that's how you get even. You know, these idiots like, oh, well, you know, Bregman's pimping the home run. Somebody on his team should get drilled in the face. Yeah. All right. Let's think about this here logically for a second. It's game 6 of the World Friggin' Series. And Steven Strasburg's pitching for his team in what is an elimination game for them. They lose, they're done. So, yeah, he should drill a guy, potentially get thrown out of the game, knowing the Nationals' bullpen is turds. He should drill a guy, potentially get thrown out of a game, and put Astros runners on base in a game that is an absolute must-win for them. Who thinks of stupid-ass stuff like that? Oh, wait. I know. Jerry, who was the analyst on the ESPN national call tonight?
It's Showman and who else? I don't know the other.
Yeah, the other guy. Whoever the other guy.
Singleton?
The other guy, but I think Aaron has the call. Aaron's got those calls. There's the Bregman call, and then there's the Soto call. Play the Bregman call.
The 2-0, and a fastball hit high and deep to left field. Soto back can only turn and watch it go. Home run Alex Bregman, who took the bat all the way down to first base with him before he tried to hand it off to his coach, Don Kelly. Third home run of the World Series for Bregman, and the Astros have taken a 2-1 lead.
Well, as big of a boom as that was, Alex Bregman
going to get somebody hurt on his team. That's just, you can't do that. You can't carry the bat with you that far down the first baseline, so much so that you're going to hand it off to the first base coach. I love Bregman. He's a great player, but that's disrespectful to Strasburg and everyone on the field. And expect there to be some fireworks in this game at some point.
Looked into his dugout, his own dugout on the first base side as he went down the line carrying the bat and just hung on to it till he got to the bag.
So you're right, that's Chris Singleton. That is Chris Singleton being get off my lawn old guy. Oh, you're going to get somebody hurt. We're going to see fireworks. No, what we're going to see is a home run by Juan Soto. We did the exact same damn thing. Which, by the way, Chris Singleton had no problem with when Juan Soto did it. Did you notice that part?
On the way, and Soto lifts a high fly ball, deep right field, and the Nationals have taken the lead, and Soto took his bat down to first. Soto took his bat down to first with him and dropped it there to get back at what Bregman did earlier tonight. And now he is slowing his trot around third as much as you can, finally making his way to the plate. And as he touches home plate, the Washington Nationals have taken the lead. Wow.
Told you. The at-bat when he came up, after Bregman hit that, we saw him get his intensity and his mojo back that we hadn't seen for a little while. So he was wanting to sort of step it up for Strasburg and do that to Verlander. He did it there. Tim Bogar, the first base coach, not happy with it. He picked the bat up and he just threw it towards home plate.
3-2 Washington, a pitch down and away ball.
But you see, that's how you do the style game. You one-up the other guy, right? Bregman hit a home run that gave the Astros the lead. He pimped it like a champ. Soto hits a home run. He gives the Nats the lead. He pimps it like a champ right back. That's how you play the game. That's how you do it today. You don't, all right, well, my pitcher's got to go out and drill somebody in the back. And honestly, I don't have a problem with guys getting drilled in the back. As far as I'm concerned, if you're going to hit a guy, you hit him below the shoulders and above the knee. You're going to hit him. You hit him in the arm, hit him in the back, hit him in the gut, hit him in the butt, hit him in the thigh. All those places are fair game. That's part of the game. You're going to get hit. You don't hit a guy up over the shoulder, and you don't hit a guy in the knee. That's pretty much it. But elimination game, you can't be tooling around with drilling guys on purpose. The game is too important. This isn't a game in May that, oh, we win, we lose, whatever. Freaking game 6 of the World Series, you're down 3-2. And I don't have a problem with Bregman pimping it all the way to first base. We've seen plenty of guys over the last 30 years pimp home runs. Ken Griffey pimped home runs. And by that I mean junior, because I don't expect most of you watched Ken Griffey Sr. play a whole lot. But Junior pimped homers. Mike Piazza pimped homers. A-Rod pimped homers. Big Poppy pimped homers. Joey Bautista pimped homers like a champion. The best is when you get guys who aren't even that good pimping homers. Chris Young, when he was with the Yankees, he had some of the best home run pimps you ever saw. He's got one where after he hits the home run, he's holding the bat over his head and he hammer throws it. Like the pimping home run things, I don't understand why guys get so mad about that. You don't have any issue with pitchers fist pumping and pointing to the sky and pounding their chest when they get a big strikeout. Why do you have a problem with the batter tossing a bat, carrying a bat, doing whatever after he hits a home run? You don't want a batter to pimp you out after he takes you deep? Don't give up the long ball. You know, isn't that it? You don't want a guy to trick out a home run? Don't pitch it. Don't throw a gopher ball. That's it's very simple. And you know what? The Astros could have got back if they went back and they actually, I don't know, found their bats and used them. But they didn't. And that's why we're going to have a Game 7. Because the Astros forgot what bats were after the first inning. They didn't use them. Well, not for actually hitting anyway. Well, we're an hour through. I was not expecting that. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. IHRMP listener line on the text line on Twitter at PCreighton1. We get plenty of your reaction. We got breakdown for Game 6. Look ahead to Game 7. It's all coming up next. Astros postgame on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media station.
Sounds fascinating.
You're listening to the World Series Postgame Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Citizens Bank, Allied Outdoor Solutions, and Zumo's Sausage and Boudin. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Look at Jerry Bow busting out the Wolf Mother. I'm surprised you even know who that is. Well played, Mr. Bo. Well played. You know, J-Rap on Twitter asked me, doesn't no poster board material apply to pimping homers in the first inning? No, because no poster board material has been replaced by we play loud. It's been replaced by let the kids play. Okay, you know how you answer a guy who pimps a home run? You pimp it better. It's entertainment. It's a show. All sports are entertainment. Put on a show for the fans. Boxers and wrestlers figured this out long before everybody. All athletics are still entertainment. Fans want to see bat flips. They want to see pimps. They want to see home runs. They want to see you pimping it down the line. Look, for 30 years, we've had guys walk halfway down the line and then do a massive bat flip. Why are we so bent out of shape about this? This is such old man nonsense. And people usually yell at me that I'm the baseball purist. That's the old man nonsense. You're allowed to enjoy the game. Sports are supposed to be fun. Okay, you don't want a guy pimping a home, pimping his home run? Don't give up the homer. You know, I mean, let's be fair by now. Hasn't Justin Verlander seen the scouting report on Juan Soto? Do not throw high fastball. I mean, didn't you just watch how the Astros handled Juan Soto in Washington by hitting them with a steady diet of breaking stuff? Do not throw high fastball. High fastball, inside corner, jack. It's not like un-macho if you throw them a steady diet of sliders. Young guys have fast bats. Hitting is timing. Pitching is disrupting that timing. You know how you mess up a guy with a fast bat? Throw him breaking balls. You change speeds. You change planes. Because then all the bat speed in the world is not helping him. He's got to have the skill to hit that pitch. Fastball in at 96, out at 110. It just, you know, grip it and rip it. And if you listen to Juan Soto do interviews, he pretty much tells you that's his approach to the plate. Grip it and rip it. Make him think. Make him have to wonder what's coming next. And don't throw him a damn high fastball. Look, Game 7 is going to be very exciting. And it might have some of your stomachs in knots. And I know a lot of you right now are probably sitting there wondering, well, you know, Greinke against Scherzer. Do we have the pitching advantage there? Maybe we don't. I have no idea what Max Scherzer is going to be able to give the Nationals tomorrow. Honestly, we don't even know if Scherzer is going to wake up tomorrow feeling as good as he felt today. There's no way for us to know. Either way, if I'm an Astros fan, I want to beat Max Scherzer. The Astros have beaten every big-time pitcher there is. They shouldn't be fearing anyone. But, you know, the bats, they got a hit. And I think that's really the bigger issue. I don't think it's so much of fearing the pitcher as much as it is. I think Astros fans have seen the Astros offense struggle so much in October that you're just concerned, is my offense going to show up? You know, Dre had an interesting comment because, you know, baseball is all about superstition. You know, they were talking to Alex Bregman after Game 5 about the shirt that he's wearing, the same shirt, and how he's going to continue to wear the same shirt, and how Springer pours cologne on him when he gets into the clubhouse because the shirt smells so bad. Well, he won't be wearing that. That shirt's going to get washed. He'll wear a different shirt for Game 7. But that baseball superstition, Dre's like, you know what? Maybe the Astros shouldn't wear the white unis at home. Because the Nats seem to be hitting the hell out of the ball when they wear the blue tops. Make them wear something else. If you are, Jerry Bo, if you are, if you're the Astros clubhouse guy, what uniforms do you want them to wear tomorrow?
At this point, I have no clue. At this point, I'm the most superstitious person there is. And at this point, I don't know what to say. Just not the whites.
Not the whites.
And I'm extremely superstitious.
It does seem everybody who wears white loses in this series. Don't wear white. White, you know, white doesn't work for anyone unless they're laying down their rifles. And that doesn't sound like a Texas thing. Yeah, you know what? Maybe that's not necessarily a bad idea. Maybe you just don't wear the whites. Wear the road unis. Wear the alternate unis. Wear something. Change it up. You're superstitious. A lot of guys are superstitious about stuff like that. But as much as we said Game 3 was going to be a margin call on Zach Greinke, where, you know, look, the Astros give a lot to get Zach Greinke, and this was going to be the margin call of, dude, it's your job to save our season right now. Greinke didn't pitch bad in Game 3. I think if the Astros weren't down 2-0 and AJ wasn't managing, you know, like it was Game 7 because they had to win that game no matter what, he probably would have got the pitch longer. But if you get 5 innings from Greinke tomorrow and he only gives up 1 run and you're losing, it's not on Greinke. You know, this has been, you know, one of the best offenses in baseball this year. Astros got a hit. Do you want the roof open?
Open it up.
Can the roof open at this point? Have they broken the roof? Does it not open?
The odds came out for tomorrow's game,
Astros minus 140, Nationals plus 120.
So they're small favorites.
Small favorites. Imagine the guy that bet the Nationals tonight. He's sitting there with a plus 550 tickets. It was never right. The Astros have been juiced this whole series, and people have been eating if you've been betting Nationals.
Well, every time they win, it's been a huge fall because of, you know, look, the Astros won 107 games. Right? Wasn't the storyline before this series, whoever wins the ALCS wins the World Series? The Nationals weren't supposed to put up this big a fight. Cardinals certainly wouldn't have. You know, Nationals, since being 19-31 to start the year, they've had the best record in baseball since. The Astros are the best record in baseball, period. So maybe this is the two best teams. It certainly, I mean, when you talk about being able to match the Astros with the Aces, you know, the Nationals are that team that can actually match the Nationals, match the Astros with the Aces. But you know what? The Astros also got well-pitched game from Jose Urquidy. They got more of, you know, the Gerrit Cole we've come to know in Game 5. So, Game 7, I got, you know what, you could, Game 7, everybody's going to be able to pitch except Verlander. I would not be surprised if Granke goes 4 and Jose Urquidy comes in and Urquidy then goes 2 or 3 more innings. Remember how they used to, in 2017, they would tandem Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers. They used those two guys in a tandem role. I could see them using Granke and Urquidy in a tandem role to clear out all that underbelly of the bullpen that struggles and get right to Smith, Harris, Osuna. And I know Harris gave up the home run tonight, but I don't think that's going to change A.J. Hinch's trust level in Will Harris. And Will Harris has been nails all year. But I think Harris, Smith, Osuna, those are the three. Those are the only three relievers A.J. wants to put in a game. So does that mean you get 4 innings from Granke and 2 innings from Urquidy? 3 and 3, however it goes. Because, look, they can't go to Devo. They can't go to Peacock. They can't go to those guys. You know, and if Matt, you know, well, how far do you expect Scherzer to go in this game? 2 days ago, he couldn't lift his arm. And you saw him in the bullpen. You know, they made sure to keep showing you Scherzer loosening up in the pen. I don't know if they were actually going to bring him in or if he was just doing that to keep his arm loose or whatnot, because he wasn't throwing hard. You know, if you were watching Scherzer throw in the pen, he didn't really throw from the mound all that much. He threw from in front of the mound. And he wasn't going full windup and throwing hard. He was just, like, throwing warm-up pitches. You know, easy step and throw. He wasn't firing it in there. So I don't know how far Scherzer can go in the game. You know, if he's got to throw some really hard breaking stuff in tight spots early in the game, does that change, you know, how many bullets he's got in the arm? Remember, he missed a month towards the end of the season. He missed like the whole month of August. You know, and the Nats kind of rehabbed him at the major league level in September. He was throwing 4 innings and 3 innings. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily pitching great in some of those games. He was just trying to rebuild his arm strength. He is one of the greatest pitchers of this generation. But clearly he doesn't have, you know, the clip's not full. this is game seven. Flip a coin. Exciting as hell. You know, win it in five, win it in six, win it in seven. Doesn't matter as long as you win it. We're going to get game seven. I would recommend to everyone going to the game tomorrow or going to the bars tomorrow around the stadium or really anywhere downtown, don't drive because you ain't getting out. You know, there was, Aaron was telling me that in 2017 they had there's so many cars parked illegally blocking the rail lines, the trains couldn't get through. So Uber, Lyft, whatever, don't ride share, don't drive in unless you plan on spending the night. Because if they win, it's going to be pandemonium. And if they lose, you're probably going to be really ticked off sitting in ungodly traffic. You're just going to be driving angry. Don't drive angry.
I got a game seven stat for you here. Check it out. Winner take all game sevens, World Series history, or just World Series history, period. Winner take alls. Home teams are overall 19-20, and that's after the Cubs and Astros being able to pull it off.
It's 50-50.
Yep.
Game seven is 50-50. And I think that between Scherzer's injury and what we've seen of Greinke thus far in the postseason, I think the pitching matchup's about 50-50. We've had three games where the Astros hit and three games where they didn't. We've had three games where the Nationals hit and three games where they didn't. Who's going to hit tomorrow night or later tonight? World Series postgame on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is the World Series postgame show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Citizens Bank, Allied Outdoor Solutions, and Zumo's Sausage and Boudin. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
You know, let me throw a little nugget out there for you if you haven't thought about this yet. Because I was thinking about it during the break, about how we could get Greinke for 3 to 4 innings. We could get 2 innings out of Jose Urquidy. You know who you might get an inning or two out of? Gerrit Cole. You know, he'd have had 2 days of rest. It would be his throw day. Day 3 is your throw day in between starts. They might get an inning, depending on how many pitches he throws, maybe more. Out of Gerrit Cole in relief in Game 7, look, he's got all offseason to, you know, regain his strength. But it would be the third day after his start from Game 5, that would be his throw day. That could be a big swing. Imagine this, right? Let's say 6th inning, and it's a 1-run game, and you need 2 outs. Who on the team would you rather go to over Gerrit Cole to get you 2 outs? I said the only guy that will be unavailable is Verlander. And I think if they absolutely positively needed to have him, he could give you an inning. Gerrit Cole could legitimately be a relief option. All right, after the game, we've got Zach Greinke, who is set to start Game 7 for your Houston Astros, talking about that upcoming start. Here is Zach Greinke.
Yeah, going to be a big game.
Alex said it's going to be a fun game. Is that how you see it?
I hope so.
Do you have any nerves or any kind of emotions right now starting a big game tomorrow?
A little excited about it at the moment, but we'll see. Wish it was in the National League Park.
So you could hit a little bit.
Yeah. Do you approach a game like this, winner take all, in any different kind of way, or is it just the same approach, Zach?
Just going to try to do good. And that's kind of just what I do, is just make pitches, and that's gives us the best chance.
I love Zach Greinke. But boy, does he not sound like what was the movie with Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley, where he makes the deal and she's the devil? Was it Bedazzled, where he's the basketball player and he sweats profusely and they ask him in the post game and he's like, "Well, we play good and we try good and we work good because you know we want to win and winning's good." Do you not hear that when Greinke does his interview?
If Vanilla had a voice, that would be it.
He's like, I know Greinke don't like to talk. And that's fine. Not everybody likes to talk. I mean, at least he's polite about it. But he's so goofily awkward that I love it. I find it funny. But it's kind of charming in an odd way. Where, like, this is just who he is. He doesn't want to talk. He don't want to make nicey nice. Just give him the damn ball and let him get out. So that's all he wants to do. Every fifth day, give him the ball. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't ask me any questions. Just give me the ball. You know, he's wired a little differently than some of these other guys. None of which matters if he's out there gunning guys down. And was that not, you know, one of the most talked about pitches that we had when Zach Greinke, you know, gave Juan Soto a little sweet chin music? Yeah, he throws the ball, it gets by, and then he starts, you know, doing the old, you know, I'm wiping my feet in the batter's box, and the next pitch he put 92 miles an hour at his chin. Well, that's the guy, that's the swag that I want from Greinke tomorrow night. Tonight. Can we still say tomorrow night? I mean, it's not tomorrow till the sun comes up, right? That's like the official ruling. It's not tomorrow till the sun comes up. So, Game 7. This is why we have things. Game 7. Game 7 is the greatest thing in all sports. In baseball and basketball and hockey, Game 7 is the greatest thing in all of sports. We get to host it here in Houston. We also need to make it so the home team is now 20-20 in deciding games. Because there was once a time when the World Series was 8 games, and they used to allow for ties once upon a time. That would be back in the old days before the stadiums had lights. We're going to get Greinke, Max Scherzer, tomorrow night. And I hope we get some sick bat pimps and bat flips. And I want to see guys on the mound pumping their chests and pounding their chests and pumping the air after they get big strikeouts. I like the play loud. I'm all down with play loud. But 107 wins. And losing Game 7 in your own building and losing all 4 games at home, that's going to be an epic disappointment of a team. First time in history it'll ever happen. That is not the kind of history the Astros want to make. You do not want to make ignominious history. And it's time some home team actually friggin' wins. So tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we're going to get baseball for all the marbles. And then after the game, right here on ESPN 97.5, we're going to have Astros World Series postgame. And I fully expect tomorrow night, we are going to be having a damn party on the air. Jerry Bo, you with me tomorrow night?
I'm with you to the end.
Yes, Jerry Bo. Yes, Jerry Bo. We're going to be popping champagne. And we're going to be hammered on air. We're going to do this show like AJ. We're going to be hammered on air, except AJ can drink without getting hammered. We're going to be popping it all night long. Popping bottles. Celebrate after game 7. I'm going to talk it into existence right here on ESPN 97.5 after the game tomorrow night. So bring your party hat, bring your adult beverages, bring your wings, get your radio turned to 97.5, have your cell phone on. We're going to talk. We're going to talk junk. We're going to have fun. We're going to do it all right here again tomorrow night, right after the game. Big thanks to Aaron Raybould, to Trey Campbell, and of course, to Jerry Bo on the other side making it all happen. We'll see you tomorrow night, H-Town.
Thank you, Jerry and Dan. Elliot, you must be one very proud young man this evening. Simply put, that was a staggeringly dramatic display of athletic ability.
Well, you know, you go out there and you give 110% and you want to play good and, you know, you hope you play good. I think we played pretty good tonight.
Well, in the lexicon of sports terminology, and I don't mean to sound contrary here, the word good falls tragically short of encompassing the sheer virtuosity of your performance this evening.
Well, you know, there's no I in the word team, and this is a team effort, and I just want to say that I'm really proud to be associated with these fine individuals that I have the pleasure of working with.
Now, I would never want to diss your teammates in any way, shape, or form, but you do realize that you smashed to bits Will Chamberlain's heretofore unbreakable record of 100 points in a single basketball game set in Hershey, Pennsylvania all those years ago.
Oh, man, you know, you just got to play one game at a time and go out there and give 110%, and you just got to show you want it more than they do when chips fall where they may. Thank you.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.